This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 17th, episode 660, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Lord, I love to hear that fighting five o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, but the kids in the front head in the town.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. It is pre-Preakness Friday to those of us who are so excited that the Preakness is tomorrow. I can't remember a time where, yes, after the Preakness, you have a lot of Triple Crown talk, but now, because of Orb's unbelievable performance in the Kentucky Derby, in the mud and in the slop from the outside and keeping it up, people are already talking Triple Crown excitement, and the Preakness hasn't even run yet.
Well, you're going to be folded into the couch. I can see it now because you can't do much else. Watching the whole day of coverage at the Preakness, and you're going to go into labor about an hour before it starts.
You know what? That'd be really nice because I'm ready to be done with this. This sucks.
Well, this morning it was like, okay, I wake up and I go over. Now every morning I wake up and go to the phone and I look at it and I expect a text, you know, every morning.
No, not yet. Actually, we've got it down to a science. So we actually need me to go into labor next Wednesday, because if we go into labor this weekend, Chad gets 2 weeks paternity leave. So that is then if I go into labor, like say Sunday the 19th, then he will have 2 weeks off the 20th and the week of the 27th. The week after that, his squadron deploys to Canada for like another long trip. So if we go into labor this weekend and we have the baby this weekend, he could technically be called to go to Canada 2 weeks after the baby's born. So I have to hold off until at least next Wednesday, the 22nd, because then it would be perfect because the paternity leave would go into their trip. And so then he wouldn't go, and then we would get not only the 2 weeks off for paternity, but his whole squadron would be gone, and that would be like almost 4 weeks without him hardly having to do any work. So I'm hoping for the 22nd. If it starts to come out this weekend, I'm crossing my legs. Nope, not going to happen. Sorry, dude.
Get another one of those shots like you had last week. Give me another one
exactly.
Of those.
Give me that shot. Of course, his actual due date is the 5th, but dear God, I hope I don't have to wait that long.
Well, you know, it's unbelievable, but that's only, 2-3 weeks away anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's
less
shocking.
Less than 2 weeks away. Or a little over 2 weeks.
Frightening.
I know. This went very quickly. Well, Jennifer, we're going to be doing some fun stuff on the show today. What's up?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, pre-Preakness chit chat opens this. Might as well be the weekend audio free for all. And once it has run its course, we will survey Kickstarter for horse centric projects. Some good, some bad, some ugly. And following a few freakishly fascinating news headlines, the really bad ads segment gallops into town, guns a-blazin'. So stay tuned, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to Mark Todd. Sir Mark Todd, it was announced a little while back that the eventer from New Zealand, one of their most decorated Olympians with 5 Olympic medals, was nominated to be knighted. Well, that has happened now. And he is now a Knight Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit. And he was knighted by Prince Charles of Buckingham Palace for his service to equestrian sport. And I noticed the Queen, I noticed an article the other day that the Queen is giving up a lot of her roles and doing the knightings and all of those things and starting to hand them off to Prince Charles because she is 87 years old and apparently wants to reduce her workload a bit. So apparently Mark Todd had a pleasant conversation with Prince Charles as he was awarded the knighthood. And knowing Mark Todd, he was kind of goofing around. But if you notice the picture there, he was all dressed up in tails and looked really good.
Heck yeah, man. You don't get knighted, you know, too often, I guess. So when you're going to get that honor, you got to dress it up. You got to look good. But yeah, the picture is really cool. From the article, and it may not be the Queen, but you're still getting knighted by Prince Charles. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, and if you noticed, I thought it was funny about the picture. If you see Prince Charles is holding the sword and he does, you know, on each shoulder and everything while he's doing the knighting, and the person being knighted has to kneel. Well, if you notice the little kneeler that they have this fancy little kneeler that you would expect in the palace, you know, but it has little arm holds on it, and I think that's because a lot of the people they knight are about 120 years old, and that helps them get up and down.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant idea. But do you think that Prince Charles was like, who is this guy? Why are we knighting a guy that rides horses?
I know.
Or is horse culture so immersed in the fabric of England that it was no big deal?
Right. You know, they must, though. You know, some of these people being knighted, they must just not even know who the heck they even are. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
My staff
Amazing.
Said he should get one, you know. but good job to Mark Todd.
Sir Mark Todd.
Sir Mark Todd.
Well, I just posted a picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and this is who my daily Winnie is going to go out to. I am sold. I am a fan. You're going to hear me talk about him this entire show because I'm super excited. After the Kentucky Derby, he sold me because, my God, he's just faster than every other one of them, and that is Orb. But I found a picture of Orb as a baby. This is
He's
Orb
cute.
As a foal, laying in the sun in the Kentucky grass. Oh, my gosh, adorable. And so that is who my daily Winnie's going out to Orb, because I'm just so pulling for him. He's had some awesome works this week. We're going to talk more about it, but he gets my daily Winnie. Look at the baby picture. They're so cute. And so they're such a good and the baby horse.
God, I hope you have your baby soon.
Me too.
Well, that's great. We are going to get to, why don't we just get to the Preakness coverage? You know, I think, you know, I was thinking about it, and there just was something missing this year in the Preakness. That just was
they
missing.
They fired him.
I know, and it
they
just seemed like it was missing, and, you know, there's just something not there this year. So there you go for everybody who missed him.
Have you been reading Horse Nation recently?
No, I didn't get a chance this week.
Okay, it's hilarious. They're covering all of the other Preakness competitions that happen, which is the Preakness at the Preakness is called Running of the Urinals. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so apparently in the infield at the Preakness, Kegasus, maybe they are trying to steer away from encouraging this kind of behavior, because I've actually seen this on Comedy Central Tosh.0. Daniel Tosh actually showed it, and they've actually got the clip from that show on HorseNation.com, and apparently, it is a big sport to where the urinals, you know, there's lines and lines of urinals. They race people on the tops of the urinals, and you have to start at the beginning and run all the way to the end of the urinals that are in line. However, the trick is that you're getting pelted with beer cans the entire time you're running across the top of the urinal. And they, most people don't even make it.
And they fired Kegasus. Why?
I know. It's shocking that they're like trying to smooth this out a little bit. So you can go on horsenation.com. Maybe I'll try to put the link on our Facebook page. But you can actually look at some of the videos. And there is one where a guy thinks he's Superman. And one line of urinals, he runs to the end of them, porta potties. And then he goes to jump from one porta potty to the next line of porta potties. And it does not go so well. Like, let's just say EMTs were called. Then another one is apparently another Preakness tradition is fighting in the infield. And Glenn, I'm sure you would be excited to know that there are two women that they have on video on Horse Nation that are fighting with each other in the mud. In tiny little dresses. I'm not sure if they're wearing underwear. I don't know. But it was, it's like mud wrestling and fighting at the same time. Two chicks.
I know, there were like,
and there's several of them.
There were like, you know, hundreds of people that ended up in the hospital after last year's infield brawl.
Shocker.
It just, I mean, well, the Preakness wanted a part, you know, wanted a party in the infield. Boy, they got it, didn't they? They got what they wanted.
Yeah, they did. They did. Apparently, 100 and last year, Preakness official are resigned to embracing the chaos following a failed campaign to make the infield party a more family-friendly event. After booze-fueled violence reached a fever pitch in 2008, 300 people ended up in the hospital and 126 people were kicked out. Six people were arrested. They decided to ban people from bringing alcohol to the event. So then apparently attendance dropped off dramatically after that. So then they decided to bring back the Preakness reputation as a drunken free-for-all, adopting the slogan, get your Preakness on, and they adopted half horse, half man. Kegasus as the race mascot. So, looks like they're trying to just kind of scale it back a little bit. Apparently, that's because drinking and fighting go hand in hand, and it's a cornerstone of the event, and they're trying to scale things down a little bit. But 300 people went to the hospital. Are you kidding me?
Speaking of catfights, did you see at the Iroquois steeplechase? Now, steeplechases are not a place. This was in Tennessee. I saw an article about it. Steeplechases are not a place where you normally have that drunken brawl kind of thing going on. But apparently, these two women got into this catfight, and of course, somebody videoed it, and now it's going viral on YouTube. But, you know, it's at like one of the little sponsor tents. These two women start going in their little dresses. Yeah, yeah. They had a serious catfight, apparently.
I did see that. Apparently, they are two girls wearing short dresses without underwear.
And I didn't know about the without underwear part. I didn't get to see the video. Now I have to go watch it.
Well,
I missed
because
that.
Horse Nation, they cover everything. You can actually find that on horsenation.com as well. I did not watch it.
Where's she?
I don't think she. Well, maybe they did put it on there. Yeah, there you go. They got it all.
Okay, I'll check it out. I have to watch that one now. All right, well, let's get out of the infield at the Preakness, and let me give you some facts and trivia about the Preakness before we get into who's running in what order, and Jamie will cover the horses here a bit. The first race that was run at the Preakness was 1873. It was won by Survivor, who won by 10 lengths. About 12,000 people showed up to watch the race. And the purse, Jamie, in 1873, the first purse was a whopping $2,050. And
no kidding.
But that's probably about $30 million in today's money, right? There were only three races that day, and of course, there's 13 that will take place on Saturday. They get the most out of this they can at the over up there in Baltimore. And of course, the racetrack is kind of in the outskirts of the city. Once again, you know, just like Churchill Downs, it's in the outskirts of the city, and it's not necessarily in one of the best places in Baltimore.
You just don't seem to find racetracks in the best places, except for Keeneland.
Except for Keeneland, right, which is an exception to the rule for sure. The trophy is the most valuable trophy in all of sports, not just in racing, but in all of sports. It's the Woodlawn Vase, and it was created by Tiffany & Company in New York.
Do you get the blue bag that goes with it or something? the blue box?
I don't know if there's diamonds all over it or what. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? One time, I got a gift from my father's ex-girlfriend, and it came in the Tiffany blue box, and I was like, oh my God, she is like really trying to like live it up and kind of get in good with me. And I opened it up, and it was something totally different. I've never been so pissed in my entire life. I'm like, oh, Tiffany, oh my God, I opened it up. It's like a pin from something. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now I hate you.
That is
now
cruel. That is really cruel. That is almost like poking you in the eye and saying, yeah, screw you.
Yeah, you're dead to me. Dead.
That is kind of... the flower for the Preakness is the Black-Eyed Susan, but the problem they've got is that the Black-Eyed Susans only bloom in the late summer and fall, so that they actually use Viking daisies for the drape that is put over the winter. So they look a lot like Black-Eyed Susans, apparently.
No kidding. Those aren't Black-Eyed Susans?
No. Nope. They're something called Viking daisies. They look just like Black-Eyed Susans, apparently.
The whole thing is a lie! A sham.
You think with greenhouses like today they could grow some, you know?
Like getting a Tiffany box with some other something in it. Total crap.
Let's see here. Top jockey is Eddie Arcaro, who won the nickname The Master as the all-time winningest jockey at the Preakness with 6 titles. The leading active jockey is Kent DeSarmo, who won with Big Brown and also Real Quiet back in 1998. There apparently have only been 2 female jockeys that have ever raced. Now, of course, we got a female jockey racing this year. My girlfriend's racing, so we'll hear more. We'll hear more about that a little bit later. The largest margin of victory was Smarty Jones, 11.5 lengths in 2004. That broke the record that stood since Survivor won the first race all the way back in 1873. Funny Side won by 9.75 lengths in 2003. But they have a lot more closer races, and I think that's because I don't know the nature of the race. They end up with closer.
It's races. A little shorter race
too. A little shorter.
Yeah, I mean it's not like the Belmont where you've got 1.5 miles to go. You've got 1.16 miles, so usually your pack gets a little bit closer. And this one could be good though because there's only 9 horses in the race this year. It's not like the Derby where you cram 20 horses in one race together and let them duke it out. So we might see, a margin of victory a little bit more this year. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
Well, apparently because there's less horses in the field and the field is a little bit more even than the Kentucky Derby, we flushed out some. Their payouts aren't quite as big, and they don't have the long shots that you'll see in the Kentucky Derby with 20 horses. So the back in 1975, Master Derby upset the field and won and actually paid $48.80, and that was the largest of the payouts of all the Preakness races. Preakness winners by color. Bays have won 65 of the races. Chestnuts have won 41. Browns have won 15. Grays have won 4. And blacks have only won 2 of the previous races. So there you go. There's some facts.
I'm shocked that 4 grays have won because anytime I bet a gray, they lose. So I'm shocked only that 4 actually have won. But you don't see a whole lot of registered black thoroughbreds. So they usually give them that dark bay or brown.
Yeah, and my brother's favorite joke is, I bet on the brown one. So that's always his favorite joke when we're racing. Yeah.
So he's really funny, huh?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah, mine was just never bet the gray. Never bet the gray.
All right, why don't you go down how it came out and who's running out of what hole?
Yeah, I mean, to go over the horses that are going to race, it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's some really good horses in the field. But, starting with post position number 1, you've got Orb. And I've said it before why I think he's going to win. He's just dang faster than the rest of them. I mean, he is... after watching him run in, granted, all of the experts picked him because all of his works leading up to the Derby have been faster than everybody else's. And so he was the favorite. But, you know, you never know with the 20-horse field or 19 as it was this year, you never know exactly what's going to happen in a huge field like that. And then you throw in the mud. So I was trying to pick some other horses that I was emotionally attached to. But to watch Orb come from behind, well, that first pack ran out, and then he's sitting there in the second pack, far back, and then to go wide and just blow by everybody in the mud, covered, it was just so impressive that I just don't think he can lose. But just to go over, his trainer is Shug McGahey, which is just, he is just the coolest older dude. He is just one of those guys that you just want to sit down and have a beer with. The jockey is Joel Rosario. His last win, of course, the Kentucky Derby. He had a couple works this past in between that was just incredibly impressive. He has a 5-race winning streak. He's just bred for this distances. He's just classic. Now, the problem is that he drew post position number one. And apparently when they drew post position number one, everybody groaned, except for Shug McGahey. He said, "I didn't groan." Some people groaned. I didn't. Because I guess from post position one, it's incredibly difficult to win. Only Tabasco Cat in 1994 has won from post position one from the rail since 1960.
Is that so as important with less horses, though? I understand it with 20 horses, but when there's only 9, I mean...
Well, that's what Shug went to go see. He said it's a pretty straight start it's a pretty straight start with only 9 horses. They won't be jockeying for position as much as going into the first turn of the Derby. He said, "I'll hold my position and see how the race plays out from there. To me, it doesn't matter. He's faster than all the rest of them anyways. First turn doesn't matter. Let's just see what happens in the last turn. He seems to have proven that he can go wide and just blow by everybody." So, I mean, he ran a farther race than anybody else in the Derby. As long as he breaks at the right time out of the pack, I just think he's the one to beat. The post position number 2, Golden Scent, who was 17th in the Kentucky Derby, but they say it's because he hated the mud and he did not like the mud. This Golden Scent is the one that's owned by Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino.
Yep.
So that's why he was such a favorite in Kentucky. His odds are sitting right now at 8-1.
Now, Jennifer picked Golden Sense when we did our predictions last time. Are you sticking with that, Jennifer?
You know what? I am, because it's unfair for horses who genuinely do have a chance for me to pick them. So I'm going to stick with the loser. Yeah. Thanks. You're a giver, Jen. You're a giver. Yeah. That was kind.
That's funny.
Just don't bet on it. Titletown 5 is in the post position number 3, and Julian Lepereau is the rider. Guess who the trainer is? Dwayne Lucas. Now, the owners are Dwayne and the owner partnership that includes a couple of Green Bay Packer Pro Football Hall of Famers. So if anybody knows how to win, it's the owners, but you gotta be curious, because Titletown 5 has only won 1 race. So we shall see what happens. He's the longest shot right now at 30-1. Let's see. Departing is wearing Saddlecloth number 4. His odds are 6-1. Claiborne Farms is the owner / breeder. He's got 4 wins and a 3rd and 5 starts. So I think he's going to be up there. He won the Illinois Derby on April 20th. That was his last start. So he did not run in the Kentucky Derby. So it may be a little fresher. Again, that's Departing. Milute, who ran in the Kentucky Derby and ended up 5th. Glenn, are you picking Milute because of the jockey, Rosie Napravnik?
Yes, I am, but I'm picking Milute for 2nd place. I have to go with Orb. I mean, I have to go with Orb this time. I don't know how you couldn't. So I am picking Milute in 2nd place. Although, if there's one in this field that has a chance on paper of beating Orb, it is Milute in this case.
Yeah, Milute likes the shorter distances, and Napravnik Rosie is going to be hungry, and I'll tell you why. She would be the first female to ever win the Preakness. first female jockey, that is. She actually started her career at Pimlico. She got her first win there. I'm sure she would love to win the Preakness. That's Rosie Napravnik riding My Lute in post position number 5. Great position. Didn't do so poor in the Kentucky Derby. So, yeah, I mean, that's another one. I think between My Lute and Departing and those are your top three horses right there. Let's see. After My Lute, we've got Oxbow, who, again, I love the combination. Oxbow's in the 6th hole. Oxbow's ridden by Gary Stevens, trained by Dwayne Lucas, and owned by Calumet Farms. It just screams classic victory right there. Gary Stevens is back. He did not go so well. He's kind of my pick in the Derby, and he didn't do so well. He finished in 6th place. And his record is 2-1-1. He's only won 2 races out of it, and he's run 10 times. So not looking so good for Oxbow, but the combination is there. And Dwayne is trying so hard to win this race between the other horse, Oxbow, and Will Take Charge, who is in the 7th hole. You've got Will Take Charge. And the thing is, he finished 8th in the Kentucky Derby. He's trained by Dwayne Lucas, but here's his downfall. He's ridden by Mike Smith. Suck it, Mike Smith. Don't let me.
His downfall.
Of course, if you want to know how to finish 2nd place, you just ask Mike Smith. He'll put him right there. All right. Governor Charlie is wearing the number 8. He's 12-1. He last started in the Sunland Derby on March 24th, so he's had a lot of time off. He's trained by Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert has won the Preakness 5 times, so he knows how to win the race. His odds are, again, 12-1. That is Governor Charlie. Number 9, It's My Lucky Day, going off at 10-1. A lot of people pick It's My Lucky Day to win the Kentucky Derby, and simply because of his name. I mean, It's My Lucky Day. It should be, that's a Derby winner's name right
that
there. Unfortunately, oh, that was you,
yeah.
Wasn't it? That's right. You,
that
was your horse.
Three.
Well,
yeah.
One of your 3, he finished in 15th, so he did not do so good. 15th out of 19. But he has had 11 starts, won $600,000. He's won 5 times, but he's had a lot of bad trips. But he has a new jockey this time. John Velasquez is going to be his new jockey. Eddie Plisa Jr. is the trainer. So that rounds out your field for the Preakness. You've got, I mean, again, Orb is the one to beat. His odds, by the way, are even. So you might as well put $1 down and you're going to win $1. No, you get your dollar back. You don't even win $1.
I highly advise if you're going to bet on Orb, save the money, go down to your local mini market and buy the lottery ticket worth $475 million. You have a better shot of making some
money. Is that what it is now?
It didn't win on Wednesday night, so it's going to be a record. They expect it might even go over $500 million.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's do that. Let's just do that.
But now let's go over our picks here quick. I am going, as I said, I'm going with Orb in the first spot. I have to, you know, stick with Rosie for, you know, and my girl Rosie and My Lute for the 2nd spot. And then I'm going back to It's My Lucky Day for the 3rd hole. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Enjoy that. That's really fun. That's going to be really sweet that you pick that.
All right, what's yours?
Well, I'm going to go with Orb, obviously, as the number 1 horse. He's going to win. It's going to be impressive. It's going to be awesome. I'm not even going to let any of these other horses creep into first place for a minute. I would say that my surprise pick is going to be Departing for 2nd place, owned by Claiborne Farms. He's just kind of been on a tear recently, is fresher than the horses that ran in the Derby. Departing is going to be my number 2. And My Lute, I'll go with Rosie coming in 3rd place. Rosie with My Lute, and we shall see. Now, I'll tell you, we'll get to later why I'm warming up to Rosie Napravnik. I'm warming up. She's doing something good, and I'll tell you about it a little later.
All right, let's get Jennifer's picks here quick. Jennifer.
I got to pick somebody.
Well,
I'm just sticking with my,
Pick old sits.
I just went over every one of the horses, Jennifer. Well, see, you already asked me. I got to pick Golden Sense because Golden Sense is going to lose anyway.
Okay.
I don't want to jinx anybody.
All right, there we go.
Maybe Title Town 5, because that's a stupid name.
It's true. It is kind of a stupid name. So Golden Sense and Title Town 5. Jennifer's 1 and 2. Let's hope you're not correct. And real quick here, I just wanted to say that NBC is covering it. Their coverage starts today at 3 p.m. Eastern time for the Preakness Classics and a couple of the races that happened today. And then tomorrow they start their coverage at 2:30 in the afternoon. And then the race goes off. You know, it's one of those 6 o'clock kind of things. So they'll have coverage all afternoon. You guys can sit around all afternoon and watch NBC Sports Network for your coverage of... race.
What is post time then? Post time for the Preakness.
I don't really. It doesn't say in this. NBC is live coverage. It doesn't really say. I'm thinking it's around 6 o'clock, but I could be wrong.
I'll Google it real quick.
I'm just seeing when the coverage is.
28 p.m.?
Article. Usually, if their coverage stops at 6:30, the race has just ended. And by the way, while you're looking that up, the weather is overcast with a chance of rain. High of 68 degrees. So chance of rain is only 20%, though. It's in Baltimore tomorrow. So they won't be like Kentucky, where it was an all-day slop fest.
Well, maybe a little mud will help out, Orb. Who knows?
All right, well, let's take a break for our commercial. Coming back, we have some other fun stuff I want to go over with you involving Kickstarter. So we'll be right back after Kentucky Performance Products.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
If you've ever had a horse with diarrhea, you know what a frustrating problem it can be. Finding an ingredient that works to dry up the diarrhea becomes a high priority. It turns out that researchers have found one, a yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii. It has been proven to improve and halt episodes of diarrhea. It supplies specific nutrients to the lining of the small and large intestines, and these nutrients promote healing of irritated tissue. It also supports improved starch and sugar digestion in the small intestine, reducing the opportunity for imbalances to occur in the hindgut. Nalox Advanced, made by Kentucky Performance Products, contains Saccharomyces boulardii, along with a blend of fermentation solubles and stomach buffers. Nalox Advanced is recommended for horses of any age that are suffering from diarrhea. It also supports a healthy digestive tract in horses at risk for gastric or colonic ulcers, such as performance horses or any horse that is constantly on the go and exposed to stressful situations. For best results, Nalox Advanced should be fed on a daily basis.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, thank you to Kentucky Performance Products for their continued support of Horses in the Morning. Before we get to our next segment here that we put together for you, I have to tell you about this story, Jamie, real quick. That came out, and I saw it on Horse Talk in New Zealand, but it happened in Canada. Did you see the story about the fake horse farm that was a front for one of the largest marijuana grow operations that they've ever found?
No.
They built this, what's basically a set to make it look like a horse farm. They got a shed row. They have fencing. They even put a little judge's booth at the end of the arena. And well, the police, I don't know how they got wind of it, but they came and they raided the place. And what they found is underneath the shed row that looked like stalls, where it was a underground bunker where they were growing 10,000 marijuana plants. It was this huge bunker underneath. Now, they had hay sitting around. I mean, it looked real. But when the police said from far away and from the air, it looked like a quaint horse paddock and a horse, you know, operation. They fenced in the corrals and everything. Well, when they got closer, they realized it was constructed of plywood and was completely fake. And when you look at the picture, when you look at the picture from a distance, it looks like a shed row and everything. When they got up and looked in the shed row, there were all these hatches that were built into the ground that they could open to let air in. So they could open a certain number of them to let the right amount of air in. They said it was one of the most sophisticated grow operations they've ever found. And when you look at the pictures of what was underneath, I mean, they put some serious money into this place. They had the plants growing on racks, and they had them. They had all the lights down there. I mean, it was fancy.
Wow. You know, too bad they didn't actually make a real horse farm out of it. At least they could have had a second job. But how does one... Like, how do you figure that out? I mean, how does the police figure that out? You've got to have an enemy or something who told on you.
Yeah, it doesn't really say in the article how they found them. They did raids on a number of places. So, yeah, somebody must have ratted because they did a raids on a number of places. This was just one of them, but it was one of the fanciest ones they've ever seen. So there you go.
Wow. You know, they should have at least got a horse or two to put them out in the pasture or something. Jeez.
And then one other quick story. We got some more stories we'll get to later, but this is very good news. And we were talking about this before the show. If you remember the story of those horses that were stolen out of the Southern Arkansas University and murder, they murdered some of the horses and then, you know, left them sitting out in the field. We've covered this story, you know, quite a bit. And the
credit
horse
card,
was, yeah.
The horse.
The horse's name was Credit Card. Well, the guy who actually was hired by Wendy Cox and J.C. Ray Jackson, the guy who was actually hired and actually did the murder, apparently, of the horse, he had received in Arkansas a 30-year sentence for his crimes. Now, he was a previous convicted felon as well. Well, he also was charged because that murder actually happened in Oklahoma. He has now been given a 20-year sentence in Oklahoma, so he's now looking at 50 years. Isn't it heartening to know that you can still go to jail for hurting an animal?
You know, that was the most satisfying thing to me. Maybe it wasn't all just jail. I mean, the guy is just a total dirtbag and has had... Is in concealing stolen property, transporting stolen property into the state, possession of a firearm by a felon, cruelty to animals. So he did plead guilty to all of those. But yes, my gosh, they did not just kill this horse. They cut him to pieces. I mean, just as horrible of a story as you can get. I'm so glad that this guy has 30 years in Arkansas and 20 years in Oklahoma to serve. It makes me feel much better.
Yep, me too. And, you know, he had been, Jennifer checked out his rap sheet. He had previous convictions for stealing livestock. So apparently this isn't the first time.
He had previous convictions for stealing livestock, assault and battery, and several others. And they didn't bother to throw him in jail for those.
Well,
you know what? They probably should have checked and seen how successful of a livestock thief he was before they actually hired him, because it doesn't seem like he's ever done a really good job stealing livestock. The other person got 60 years. The Arkansas jury found Cox, Wendy Cox, guilty for the horse theft. And this is J.C. Ray Jackson's mama now. So she's in jail for 60 years. They still haven't done J.C. Ray Jackson's
Not looking good for J.C. Ray, though, is it? Not looking good.
No, not looking good. Everybody else is going to be in jail forever. Your mama is in jail. Now, this happened because she was, like, in love with the guy that owned Credit Card or some ridiculous drama story. And you can just see that, like her mama getting involved with this would be those kind of things where it's like dance moms, you know, it's like,
yes.
I'm going to hit her in the knees. Yes. So she can't go out there and dance and beat my daughter. You know, I mean, just, God, just so trash, just such trash. And just taking it out on the horses, my God, just awful.
All right. Well, let's. I did something today that I thought would be a little different, and actually, it was Jamie's idea. You gave me the idea. I did it every once in a while. We try and take a look at Kickstarter, and of course, that's that website where you can go raise money for projects that you're working on, no matter what they are, whether you're building a product or doing a movie or whatever. And we helped. We learned about it first when we helped raise money for Templeton Thompson's new CD, and we did that successfully, and she brought it out and everything. Well, every once in a while I look at Kickstarter and I type in horse and I look at all the horse ones that are out there. And there are some good ones and then there are some not so good ones. Well, let's go through the ones that are out there right now that are raising money. But I want to start with one that we did before, a review of one we did before. We had a guy on the show by the name of Ben Masters back on January 30th. And he was riding Mustangs across the wilderness of the American West. And they were planning on doing this documentary movie. Well, they called Unbranded, and he was on, actually, Jennifer, I think he was riding at the time he was on, but he was a great guest, and we wanted to follow up. They were looking to raise $150,000. Jamie, they raised $173,000. So, you know, they raised all the money they needed. Now, Jennifer, didn't you tell me that it was Buck's producer who's doing the movie?
Yes, Cedar Creek Productions, who produced Buck, the movie, as well as the DVD, clinic DVDs, is doing the production on this. It's really exciting.
Then you know it's going to be good. So we know it's going to be a good one.
I wasn't here on the show the day you guys talked to them, but to read the synopsis, basically these guys travel 3,000 miles on Mustangs, mind you, that were born and raised in the wild. They're riding Mustangs all the way from the border of Mexico to the border of Canada, through Arizona, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana. I mean, that is as epically beautiful of a country as you can imagine. And to be doing it on Mustangs, first of all, I have to know, did they shoe the Mustangs or did they lead them barefoot? First thing first.
I don't remember.
I'm curious. Jennifer, did you ask?
I don't remember. Well, let's...
No, I didn't ask about shoes. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what?
That was the first question. Let's listen.
I have the trailer here. Do you want to hear it? Because I think they actually talk about that. They talk about their feet. So let's hear the trailer. Now, this is about 4 minutes long, but it's worth it. It's a lot of fun. So here we go.
Growing up, we'd always dream of being off in the West and being cowboys. That's the tying bond that brings us together, and that's what makes us all want to do this trip. A lot of people think that they're too wild. A lot of people think that they're better off going and buying a quarter horse or a thoroughbred, when in reality, a lot of these wild Mustangs are really good stock. The doctors can go to these facilities and pick out the horses and adopt a living legacy, a wild Mustang.
They really have so many more years of evolution in the wild. When you work with them, you bag one against that natural instinct. You need to bite or kick or buck. Stepping in there with animals that have never been handled by humans, you gotta just start working with them with the very basics and getting them just to gain that trust.
Once it gives it to you, release.
I feel like the Mustang can be a real happy horse in the mountains and stuff once he gets to where he can mentally be cool with having somebody on his back. When they say, well, that's just family, that's just master, that's just a bag, I know that they're not going to hurt me, and they're in their environment. They couldn't be a happier horse. Like, I look for happy animals.
They are very sure-footed. Their feet are as hard as rocks. They just are built for mountain travel. And that's why I decided for this towing trip, we went to Judge Hughes Mustangs, because they're hardier than any other breed of horse. I Our plan is to take these Mustangs and ride them 3,000 miles through Arizona, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana. We're going to go through some of the most scenic and beautiful parts of the American West.
You know, I think it'll really show a lot of people, too, how many opportunities they really have to get out and enjoy nature and how much of the West really is still wild and open.
Something like this when I graduate. I need to do something before I just become part of the everyday rat race. That's life, and being outdoors and just kind of going back to the way, you know, the old frontier time. I think satisfying that call or that urge is going to be awesome.
5 to 6 months on the trail with Mustangs, things are going to go wrong.
We're going to face very real dangers on the trail. A lot of these trails are nasty and steep, and you can slide off. Crossing high rivers, high mountain passes full of snow, and be some dangerous wildlife encounters.
I don't think there's enough quit in any of us. If we don't finish, I'd like to see what it is that makes us not finish. Because maybe that's the whole point of the whole trip.
My dad and I used to always talk about how cool it would be to, you know, take a year off and ride from Mexico to Canada. And I think it'll be the experience of a lifetime.
Almost as if we have a lot in common with the horses. There's not enough room out there for them, and sometimes I feel like there's not enough room for us. And I think that we're saving each other by doing this long trip. We're getting them out of their captivity, and they're helping us get out of ours.
Amen, brother.
That looks like it's going to be really good. That should be really good. I'm glad they raised the money to get the project put together. They did the trip now, and now they're getting the film together. So we'll let you know, certainly, when that comes out, and we'll have them back on. Now, there are a couple others that aren't quite as interesting. There's one called The Horses of Brazil by Diane Allison. It's now with 5 days to go in their Kickstarter fundraising. It is my dream and inspiration to go to Brazil to document the unique horses and culture of Brazil. I will create a book and tell their story. I cannot tell you how many photographers are on Kickstarter trying to raise money, because they basically, it's a tough living right now being a photographer. So if they want to do any projects, they pretty much have to try and raise money somehow. And that's what she's trying to do to raise money to go down. Now, she was trying to raise $5,500, and she has $3,100 with 5 days to go. So she might get there. The way Kickstarter works is if you don't raise the whole amount, you don't get anything.
Seriously?
Yeah, you don't get anything. The project does not happen, and you don't get anything. You have to raise the whole amount.
Well, what the hell? I'd like to go to take photographs of Andalusians in Spain, and $5,500 would pay for my plane ticket and my trip to go to, pay for a riding vacation.
Yeah, it might even pay for some alcohol. It all depends on how you do the video. The videos are so important here, and you're going to see why in just a second. There's another one called Running Wild, the Wild Horses documentary. The video was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. And what they want to do is put a documentary together to explore the wild horses of America living in our modern society and also what we know about wild horses. Well, the video was terrible, and it shows because they have 1 day left of 30 days they put these up for, and they're looking for $7,000. Now, it's wild Mustangs. You think that, you know, you could raise money for that right now. They've raised $260 of the $7,000, and it's because the video was awful. $260. The video was just terrible. You have to have a good video. I mean, if don't even go on Kickstarter unless you've got a kick-ass video. I mean, you just won't make it. I tried watching the video. I couldn't get through the first 30 seconds.
Really?
Yeah, so that just goes to show you. And plus, you know, I wonder if we're kind of getting wild Mustanged out right now. There's so much been out about wild Mustangs. I wonder if even, you know, I wonder if regular people and then horse people are just almost on a verge of overload. You know, you have to worry about that.
Well, it's such a frustrating topic. Because it just seems like it doesn't matter what you try to do. The BLM is not going to let you. I mean, look at Madeline Pickens, who's like, hey, give me the 30,000 Mustangs in captivity and I'll turn them loose on my property. They're like, no, So, I mean, that's what you're up against. You're just up against, like, sheer ignorance and frustration and government BS when you're trying to deal with the Mustangs, and I think it frustrates a lot of people. Now, this is Giovanna Salas, and she is running a documentary about wild horses. Now, to me, this sounds okay. Let's check this out. Running Wild is a story that explores the lives of wild horses in America living in our modern society. From the cities where wild horses are slowly transformed into pieces of legend to the small countrysides where wild horses are still running free. Government, organization, and individuals contribute to preserve or extinguish this piece of nature. The government dictates laws that allow or inhibit this range from happening. I kind of see what she's saying. Like, you know what? Same thing I just said. Government's not allowing anything to happen. And you say this didn't sound good?
No, it was awful. And that's the reason. It was awful. And that's the reason you only see $260 of the $7,000. I mean, people on Kickstarter really do get their money, but it's that video. Everyone has to have a video, and it's the video. And I'm going to show you an example. There was another one called White Horse Revelations. Now, let me read this to you. Pictures presents White Horse Revelations, an original production that combines the Horsemen of the Apocalypse with a feature Western movie. It's the imagination to tell the story more than 10 years ago, blah, blah, blah. And it's the story of the apocalypse, you know, the Horsemen of the Apocalypse and this Western film. And, you know, I got to thinking about cowboys and aliens, you know, and how cool that was, right? First thing to come to mind, right? Let me play you a little of the audio of the worst acting I have ever seen in a trailer. I mean, it is the worst acting I've ever seen, and it's going to come through in the audio. Here we go.
I have to find three horsemen to settle a score.
Who are you?
You can believe in Jesus, Word of God, and go to heaven, or you can believe
fake wind
me and go to hell.
You wouldn't happen to have seen a man named Cobra Queen?
Oh, yes, sir.
Can't be, though.
I buried Cobra Queen myself.
You know, it's strange when you have everything 1 minute. And the next minute, it's all gone.
Only when we lose someone or something is when we realize our full love.
You think God will ever forgive me of all my sins?
And now, let's hear.
Are you kidding me?
It was awful. Let's hear.
Wait, let me comment on this. Yes. First of all, one of the actors sounded like she had marbles in her mouth. Another. You're going to go to hell and stuff. Now, I want to know how
inspired
much have
dialogue.
They raised. They're on Kickstarter. They're going for it.
30,
how much have they raised?
They want $30,000. I think there's like 5 days left or something, and they've raised $302.
Ah! Stop. Bless their heart.
I mean,
awful.
How'd you like the fake wind? And that bell just cracked me up. It's like, bang, like he took a pan out and whacked it. But anyway,
yeah, that was terrible.
Let's hear what really good acting is like, okay? This is what a trailer should be.
God, look at you, city boy. Why would you ever want to come back here?
Little brother, I hereby deputize you a Texas Ranger.
Yes. To the outlaw, make no mistake, law and order has come to the West.
Nice hat, by the way. Didn't have a bigger one?
From the great beyond, a vision told me a great warrior would help me on my quest. One who has been to the other side and returned.
All I know is that a man killed my brother. If we ride together, we ride for justice.
Justice is what I seek.
Let's do this. I'm looking for a man.
Susan about a week ago. Take me with this.
You find treasure. You find the man who killed your brother.
I'll show you something.
What could you buy with all that?
Country, Captain.
Who controls the railroad? Cavalry. If these men represent the law, I'd rather be an outlaw.
That is why you wear the mask.
It was a ranger riding this white horse. Got some lunatic Indian with him. They come for you.
Scared, aren't you?
You should be.
Have a hard time staying dead. Dang.
These two That's have good. A hard time staying dead. I love that line.
Oh. Now that, okay, of course, we're obviously just played the trailer from Lone Ranger. When did that come out?
July 13th, I think, was what I read. July 13th. You know you're going to have to get a babysitter and go see it, right? I mean, you're going to have to.
I was wondering if you were open to babysitting that day.
Now you're going to have to start lining up babysitters for your horses and your child, and you got all that to think about. But yeah, that there's a big difference between White Horse Revelations and Lone Ranger there, the two trailers.
Yeah, about, I don't people. Know, $120 million.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, that was my Kickstarter review. Let's take a break for Fleece Works and our song, Let's Ride, by Jared Rogerson off of his new CD, Dirt. And we're going to come back, of course, with really bad ads. So we'll be right back.
Judy, I've been hearing a lot of good reports about this new Therawool product line that you introduced earlier this year. Tell us what's going on there.
Basically, opened a whole new customer base for us, and it's made the product affordable for people maybe who either didn't want to use sheepskin because it does require a little bit more maintenance than the sheepskin does than the wool, or people that just couldn't make that stretch. So it's been great. It's, you know, it's really, really durable, as the tagline says. Been great for daily use, beautiful enough for show.
And I think that really explains it all in a nutshell, because it is a lovely pad to look at and feel, and yep. But yet it's still an affordable pad that you can go to, you can literally go to the Olympics in this saddle pad.
Yes. We worked really hard to make sure that we developed the right density and the right length, and so it took us about a year to get everything exactly right. And to make sure that when you washed it, it didn't felt up or turn real hard or ball up. And it's a proprietary blend of product, the way we've done this, to make it work.
Quality saddle pads from Fleeceworks. So, folks, when you go to your local tack store, ask for Fleeceworks Therawool pads by name. And if your local tack store doesn't have them, tell them that they need to speak with Judy at Fleeceworks. Just go to fleeceworks.com, and you'll find all of our contact information there. And thanks for stopping up by again, Judy, and keeping us up to date on what's going on over there.
You want a guy who won't try to move too fast. Girl, it'd be a shame to take this slow. I've got an extra saddle, and I know that you can handle the stallion waiting right down the road. We can run him up, fast like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell, you got me under this ride. Ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert, fox down the slope. ads and the scenes. And the blind season will shade with pie. Baby, let's ride. I suppose I could be entertained just sitting here watching you, watching them just try to take you home. With all these guys surrounding you, like mind you, I'll just swat a few. You wanna be alone, let's go. We can run above hood, crash like thunder. That's a light flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell, you got me hugging, let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossom down below. To the islands and the saints, to the pine trees and the shade, we'll find. Baby, let's ride. Adventure makes your breath away. You're caught up with emotion you can't explain away. You can kiss me on the cheek, I will hold your hand. Get me something more, I will understand. Let's drop a foot and crash like thunder. Fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know that you got me under, let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossom down below. To the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees and the shade, we'll find my baby.
And that is Jared Rogerson here on Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. And we do appreciate them being a constant sponsor of our show on Fridays. And I wanted to touch base. I teased the story a little bit earlier of Rosie Napravnik, your girlfriend, Glenn.
Yeah, that's remember? Right. That's correct. You got that right. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, Jennifer. So really cool thing. She actually just got appointed to the board of Old Friends. And of course, Old Friends Farm is that nonprofit thoroughbred retirement facility. It's in Georgetown. They have one up in New York as well, a satellite farm. And they care for like 130 different thoroughbreds. They also care for stallions. They are where horses that raced successfully, or even some that were moderately successful, they actually keep them there. I know you guys have had Michael Blowen, who's the Old Friends president, on the show before. Isn't that correct? You've talked to him before?
Yeah, a number of times, actually. We've had him on many times. Nice.
Yeah. Well, he says that, Michael says that she's really young and very smart and passionate, and that's what we need, stated a very excited Blowen. And I guess on May 20th, she is, here you go, Glenn. You need to make your way up to Kentucky. Calvin Burrell Day will be at Old Friends, and it's on May 20th, and you will meet Rosie and Calvin, have photo opportunities. They're going to sign autographs. You can find all the information on oldfriendsequine.org, but that's how you get your in and your interview, Glenn, is you show up there and you meet her.
You know what? That place is going to be packed. Can you imagine how many people? Is Calvin Burrell going to be there too? I assume because it's Calvin Burrell Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That place is going to be packed. There are going to be a ton of people there. What a great idea, though. I mean, he's going to bring in a lot of people for that. You know, that started out with one little farm that he kept having to expand and expand, and now he's got several farms, and he has, 170 or 180, last I heard, horses there. It just, He's just done wonderful things. And here's a guy who was a newspaper reporter in Boston all his life, moved to Kentucky and had a dream to help out to retired thoroughbreds. And look what he's built it into.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And it makes warms my heart to know there's places like that out there. So if you want to make a donation, you can go to oldfriendsequine.org. And did you know that Rosie, by the way, speaking of making donations, she should make one. She has over $49 million in earnings.
Really? Well, I knew she's still the number one jockey right now this year so far.
I don't know, because now that Derby win,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
but Joelle up a little bit.
What did they get? Frankie told us 5 to 10%. Yeah. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, so I was just trying to do the math there. Let's see.
4.9
million. 49
million.
Not 4.9. 49.
No, but you take that times 10%, it's 4.9 million.
Wow, I can't believe I needed a calculator for that. I'm sorry. yeah, there you go.
You're a horse girl. We forget you.
I'm never
it.
Really good at math.
I live with a horse girl who's not good at math, so I understand. I get it.
I live with a guy who's a math major in college, okay? Math is his major. You want to talk about feeling stupid all the time when somebody like, hey, what's 122 times 0.18? And he's like, can just give you the answer. It makes you so mad. I'm like, you're such a nerd.
Well, I'm glad our fighter pilots know math, though. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Who goes to college and studies math? I'm sorry.
All right, it is that time of the week, everybody.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing, he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right.
Well, we have three prizes this week again, Glenn, and it's just like that super prize pack where you got to submit a really bad ad, because if you, on days like this, if you have a good one, you're going to win something cool. And one of the first things we're going to give away today is a gift pack from Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all natural products. Anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients used for most skin conditions, from hot spots on dogs to rain rot and wounds in horses. You know, you get a scrape on your horse and you're like, okay, what's the best thing to put on this? Dr. Rose's is going to be your go-to product.
Very good. And one of the other products you could win today, if you submitted a really good ad, is Leather Therapy, a set of 16-ounce saddle pad and blanket wash and rinse in a gift pack. It's a $40 value. Saddle pad, blanket wash, liquid laundry concentrate, breaks down heavy soils and protein-based grime and contaminants. Eliminates odors and brightens colors on breathable, waterproof fabrics while caring for blankets, saddle pads, and rain sheets created from high-tech textiles. The rinse is actually designed to help decrease the spread of skin problems from horse to horse, and also reduces the risk of cross-contamination from odor-causing bacteria and molds. And you can find all of their products at leathertherapy.com. Do you want to do the last one? I always do it, but I'd hate to ruin the opportunity for you to not get to talk about Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, Jamie.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, Uncle Jimmy's, we appreciate him being a part of the show on Fridays. And just to let you guys know what fine products you can win in your Uncle Jimmy's gift pack, which we will be giving away to one of the winners as well, you will receive famous, it's shocking that this can be famous, but it is, the famous Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls. Hanging balls come in sugar-free versions now, a no-sugar-added boredom-busting horse treat. You just can't beat Uncle Jimmy's no-sugar-added hanging balls. You can also give your horse with special dietary needs, the nutrition it deserves, go to uncle-jimmys.com. Again, I have been the proud owner of the Pecker Wrecker. My chickens loved it. You got hanging balls. It just reminds me of that Saturday Night Live skit where it was the Christmas time and they're doing the NPR sweaty balls.
Yes,
you remember
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. Which it yes. was that one's one of the most famous segments, I think.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You can get some Uncle Jimmy sugar-free sweaty balls hanging in your horse's stall. Boredom busting for everybody involved, really.
I think it sounds so much dirtier when you do that ad. It really does. It's so much All right, here is the really bad ads that people have submitted this week. Remember the names that we are giving the people that submitted them, not necessarily the names of the people who wrote the really bad ad and stuck it on Craigslist. Here we go. First one is from Glenn Forrester. Three-quarter Duroc.
Duroc.
Three-quarter Duroc show pig, $150 in Branch, Arkansas. Four-week-old three-quarter Duroc, one-quarter Poland China gilt. It was one of 19 pigs that was born smaller than the rest of its siblings. Because of that, my wife and daughter has been raising it on a bottle and keeping it in the house. They have more or less turned it into a pet, but I would not recommend anybody buying it with the intentions of keeping it a pet. In about a year, this cute little piggy will be weighing about 400 pounds. Just a little too big to keep in the house for sure. I have been selling its siblings for $50 each, but my wife has been feeding this pig goat's milk at $4 a can. Now, notice the rest of this ad. It's a long one, but it's worth reading. Notice the rest of this ad. The angst he has for his wife taking care of this pig starts to come out. She was feeding it powdered calf's milk that was just mixing that constipated the pig, which cost me a $50 vet bill. So I have a lot more tied up in it than the other pigs. Because all of this special attention, it's caught up in size and the rest of its siblings and really likes people. It walks on a leash better than most dogs and have been trained to walk on a leash. When I asked my wife what she planned on doing with the pig, she said she was going to make it a show pig. Make a show pig of it. So when I clipped its tail, I gave it a show pig clip. I am not sure what all is involved in showing pigs, but it is a well-built pig, and even though it's a three-quarter Duroc, which apparently must be a bad thing, you could not tell it apart from the purebred Durocs. Its daddy is an all-boar out of a $40,000 show pig boar, and its little gilt looks just like him. I don't know what all the trained show pigs have to do, but have this one, as far as handling goes, it is very easy to handle. My daughter has been taking it to school with her so she can have it feed it its bottle. And what days she doesn't take it, my wife has been taking it to work with her. So it's used to it likes playing. And most of all, it likes its bottle. It enjoys sleeping with my daughter's Jack Russell and eating the Jack Russell's food. Now, could you hear the antagonism coming out of this guy? And now he is taking, I wonder, do you think he's told his precious little daughter and his wife that he's going to steal their pig and sell it?
This is Charlotte's Web all over. I mean, my God.
He's taking this poor little girl's pig. He's probably going to rip it out of her screaming arms, and he's going to sell it to somebody who plans on butchering it for bacon.
I mean, he basically says, don't keep it as a pet. You have to kill this thing.
Yes.
That's exactly what he's saying. But I would like to point out that only in Branch, Arkansas, can a little girl take a pig to school because she got a bottle feeder.
I know. I thought about that walking into elementary school in second grade with your little piggy in hand. Or on a leash, apparently.
Yeah, on a leash. It walks on a leash, Glenn. Duh. Wow, that's a good one. Wow, well done, Glenn Forrester. All right. Tabitha sent this one in, and it's a quarter horse paint. Reddick, Florida. Usually Florida's good. Bella is a quarter horse paint. She is tall and would make a good hunter jumper. She does need an experienced rider, someone who will be stern with her. She has great ground manners. up to date with everything. Feet, teeth, worming. She is very well taken care of and fat. Must go to a great home only. She was bought for my husband to ride, and he can't ride anymore. Has been in pasture for 6 to 8 months. Needs to have a job, and I can't ride her. Come get Bella a great home, and she needs someone who will love her, but will be very stern with her. Experienced rider only, not a kid's horse. This horse is going to kill you.
Why do you think the husband's not riding anymore? Because he has a broken back. That's why.
Yeah. Seriously, you don't need an experienced rider. You need a trainer, okay? A trainer.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, there's all you got to read between the lines on that one. Well, Mel Donald,
you don't
Austin,
have to. It no, tells you. No,
put it right out there. Mel Donald sent this one in. Thank you, Mel, for doing this because she knows she can't win any prizes because she lives in Australia and we can't ship them to her, but she keeps sending them in anyway. It's very short. For sale, Arab times 14HH, approximately good to float, has done PC, sporting, etc. Would hit it, capable beginner to intermediate rider. Would hit capable beginner to intermediate rider. $2,800 negotiable.
Wow, I don't even know what you just read.
I don't either. I have no idea. I think they speak a different language in Australia. It's not English, apparently.
Colleen Peachy sent this one in. Colleen, Captain One-Eyed Jack in Edgemont, South Dakota for the bargain price of $100. This little guy is a sweetheart, whether W-E-T-H-E-R, you are riding him or just loving him. He only has one eye. They think he was born that way. He is around 11 years old, so we do believe, but not 100% sure, he uses a hackamore or you can ride him with just a halter and lead rope. It has been a while since he was rode, so he will need some work. If you can keep him away from mares, if you are wanting to ride him, because he may be a little, but he is very strong, and he will not listen if you have him around mares and try to ride him. My son has moved cows on him as well. You would think that with him having only one eye, he would shy or spook at things, but we have never had that problem with him.
Do you think they've looked underneath? Do you think they looked underneath? I wonder if there's a couple of Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls there. I really do.
I mean, but what the hell is it? Like, they don't say it, even it's a horse. I mean, it's
I wonder if it's they know if it's a stallion or not. You think it's a stallion, maybe?
I wonder. I mean, they don't say it's a female or male. It just says he, and they don't say how tall he is. They don't. I mean, come on, you're trying to sell something.
And I love that the one-eyed horse's name is Captain One-Eyed Jack. I love that. Rachel sent this one in. Paint mare needs retrained. Pretty markings, $800 in NW Surprise, Northwest Surprise.
Yeah. Northwest Arizona. Oh, God.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Watch out.
Reduced to $800 cash. It's a bargain. She is 5 years old, 14.3, stands for farrier, lifts all 4 feet, stands still for grooming, tacking, and mounting. Super calm around kids. Will pony ride kids all day and leads well. Well, this sounds
good.
Like a bargain. Go get it, Jamie. This is like right up the street from you. Oh, was trained well once. Needs retraining refresher. Because she needs retrained, forgot what she learned. I don't recommend her for a beginner. You will need to have her trained unless you are able to train her yourself. She is.
But they just said she was perfect for kids.
I know. Your pony rides all day. She is beautiful. They didn't say it's fun pony rides. These are the fun pony rides, Jamie. These are not the boring pony rides. She is beautiful with great markings. She is from an APHA stallion and a buckskin mare. She is not registered. I need a horse I can ride, not one to train. Was taken for a ride with her, and my mistake is your gain. She is pretty and sure she is going enough to make an excellent long-term companion and train her any way you like. Her calm and sweet disposition will take her places. Except, of course, when she's taking you for a ride, apparently. Then
taking you places.
How many times did she say training in that ad? This horse needs training. About 12. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, she's 5 years old, and you know, basically talk about how great she is with kids, but then you say she needs to be trained. Well, it's 5 years old. I mean, I love the fact that she is from a paint stallion. Not a paint gelding.
That's right.
A paint stallion.
Super calm around kids, but boy, oh boy, don't ride her.
Man, this horse is beautiful, and the picture that they have shown for this next one is so fantastic. Horse training, $150, and this is in Wilmer, Alabama, and Tiffany Crumbly sent this in. Thank you, Tiffany.
Oh, this needs a Southern accent, Jamie. This so needs a Southern accent.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Alabama.
Oh, God. It's awful spelling. Terrible.
I don't know how you're going to do this one.
This is somebody that when you're going to send your horse to a trainer, send it to this girl. What a bargain price of $150. You really get your money's worth. The photo that is in here is of a horse, a girl, not wearing a helmet, wearing like long board shorts.
It looks
with
like
tennis
knee pads.
Shoes on.
Kind of looks like she's wearing knee pads, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think they're like those three-quartered blue jeans. And she's got a shank bit on this horse and is yanking it in the mouth so bad that the horse is half rearing. And this is the person that wrote this ad. Got a horse that you love, but you fear you might have to get rid of because it's got some problems in training? Well, give me a call. Most trainers are running about $300 and up. Well, my ad is not a misprint. I don't do it for the money. I do it for love of horsemanship. A trained horse is a happy horse. I work with any type of horse. Stud, gelding, mare, big, little, I do it all. I do not hurt horses to get them to do what I want. I'm very gentle with them. I also teach riding lessons or basic care and grooming of horses, so please give me a call. You must have your own tack, though. The horse in the picture, I broke myself. Now, even as a stud, he is the sweetest, gentle horse I've worked with. The picture is mid-break. First and only time he reared up. I break him from the ground, mostly. Trust is key. Don't let it fool you. I'm a girl, but I'm better than horses than any man. Lee Fenty available. Wow. I'm a girl, but I'm better with horses than any man. I have refency available. I'm assuming that meant to say references. That ad is awful. That's just awful.
It's the only time he ever reared, and that's the picture I put up.
Oh, God. Why don't you yell them? Let me just throw something out there.
She does it for the love of horsemanship. Very good.
She don't do it for the money. And yep. when you know what? You find me a trainer that'll run me $300 a month. I'd like to see that.
That was very good, Tiffany. That's a classic.
Awesome.
That's a classic. Awesome. Yep. And you should get a prize too for the reading. That was very good.
I really would like the blanket wash. I'm so tired of having all the blankets in my garage.
Okay.
Sorry, carry on.
Dawn Bailey sent the next one in. This is our weekly horse trailer picture. And we get a bonus in two trailers in this picture.
Ooh!
And they are our typical round-fronted two-horse 1960s varieties trailers. And they are the classics. They are brown because of the rust. There are no windows in them. The tires are pretty much flat. And in this particular picture, the horse trailers seem to have some friends. And the friends seem to be a tire sculpture. This guy has built a tire sculpture beside the trailers. I'm not exactly sure whether he's trying to recreate the Olympic rings or what, but he has tires piled up and arranged in such a way to tell me that doesn't look like a sculpture of tires.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. And I love the fact that into the hill that is behind the trailers, they've also got tractor tires inlaid into the hill. I mean, that takes some skill.
It does.
You know what I like? I like very much the description, the color description.
Yes.
Of the trailer that's for sale.
Okay.
Go ahead. Read it.
Now, this is the shocking part. You remember how every week we ask, who buys these pieces of crap for the money they're asking? Well, apparently somebody does, because he had two trailers for sale and one is sold. $600 for the brown one, and it's sold. Somebody buys these things. Now, the other one that's just a rust bucket, I mean, it's just a total rust bucket, says $400 for the white and rust one. It's not all rust. That's a good color. It's not all rusted out. It's all surface rust. But yes, it's ugly. They both worked good at one time, I guess. Good tires. I used both about 6 months ago or so, and I don't have a use for them now. I found my junk title work paper. I found my junk title paperwork on the white one so it can be inspected and get a title. Yeah, dream on there, buddy. They both need some TLC, but I used them as they were. Christopher.
Whew. Your poor horse.
I hope he didn't put horses in them. You know what? I think he hauled the tires. That has to be like the first Stonehenge of tires I've ever seen. That's what it is. It's the Stonehenge of tires. It's our own version. It's how we do it in the United States. We don't need big rocks. We have tires.
And when he does say that they have good tires, I do believe that one of the trailer tires is flat.
It's flat, yes.
So, yeah.
That's a good luck one. With that. Thanks, Dawn. That was a good one. That was a good trailer picture.
Yeah. Good trailer. Uta sent this one in, Stallion, $500 in Live Oak, Florida. Before I even read this, I'm going to tell you, you need to castrate it. Stallion, $500, Live Oak, Florida. Arabian / quarter horse stallion was bait for my finances ex-wife's daughter. That does say finances, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does say finances.
Was bait for my finances ex-wife's daughter. We do not need him. He is not doing well with our cows. This is not a scam. He has not had vaccines, is healthy, and has no Coggins, all negotiable. $500.
Jennifer, this is in Live Oak. Do you think this was the one that we went to look for, the same lady? Remember when we went up there about 6 months ago?
Yeah.
And she had this ex-wife's dog. This could be the same one we went to look at.
We might have seen this horse. Tell me the story.
We went to look. Helena was looking for horses about a year ago, I guess. Helena was looking for horses, and we went to Live Oak to look at this horse. And it was, it was kind of not a great situation that this horse was in. So we didn't go there. And of course, they were telling us how wonderful it was, and they cowboyed it around. And Jennifer got on. I think you even got on, did you?
No, I got on the horse, and it couldn't steer. It didn't know how to stop. It really didn't know anything at all.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, and they had cows there, too. Yeah, this could be the same one.
Oh, my God, you've ridden this horse, Jennifer. This is really bad. Yeah. Ads come to life. It knew how to do one thing. It knew how to stick his nose between his knees and go fast. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. Poor thing. You need some training. Was it a stallion?
I'm kind of thinking it was, actually.
Yeah,
I'm kind of thinking
it was.
Oh,
my God. You rode this horse. Let me read it again. Arabian quarter horse stallion was bait for my finances ex-wife's daughter. See, this is the problem. This is why this horse is for sale. Because his finances, fiance's ex-wife's daughter was the one that was supposed to be riding the horse. And that's like, in my cousin's sister's brother's girlfriend knows this guy who knows this girl that saw Ferris with 31 Flavors last night.
That's exactly it.
We're getting rid of this horse. Margaret Schultz sent in the next one. Palomino Stud, $200. Again, yelled it. Palomino Stud, $200. Palomino Stud, 3 years old, never been touched. Gorgeous animal, just don't have the time to break. Text for more information, $200 or best offer. Oh, apparently doesn't have time to touch it either.
Yeah.
Oh, what a disaster.
Yeah, 3 years old, that's never awful. Been touched. Yeah, I don't have time to break or get broken, it should say. That's how it should
be. Yeah, no.
Let's skip the next one, Jennifer. Hold that one till next week. We're running out of time here. All right, Jamie, you get to pick the winners, but I just have to say this. I just have to say that Tiffany has to get something good because that was a classic. As I said, you deserve a prize there, too. How about if we send you Breyer? I know a Breyer we could send you.
I already got a prize this week, so we'll give them to all the listeners.
All right, gift pack from Dr. Roses. Who gets the gift pack from Dr. Roses? Jennifer, write this down.
Okay, let me, this is awful. Let's see. Gift pack from Dr. Roses. Let's go with Colleen, Captain One-Eyed Jack.
Oh, yeah.
He needs support.
Yay.
One-Eyed. Captain One-Eyed Jack. All right.
He might need some Dr. Roses, the horse, actually. DrRosesRemedies.com. Yeah, yeah. Leather therapy. Who needs to wash some blankets and saddle pads?
I'm stuck. There's three or four of them that I'm really liking. Let's go with Tiffany.
Tiffany
get that one.
Yay.
Tiffany's the one that sent in the horse training $150 yes. because you got problems in training. Well, give me a call. I broke the horse in the picture myself, and he's first time he's ever reared. Okay, has nothing to do with me not wearing a helmet, not wearing no shoes, and yanking him in the face and kicking him. I made that part up. Sorry.
Leathertherapy.com. That's who that Tiffany wins with leather therapy. And then we have Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls.
You know, I just don't think that Hanging Balls could go to anybody other than Glenn Forrester, who's got Charlotte's Web in his back pocket with the pig. that is the pig. So I think it's classic, and I think Glenn Forrester needs some Hanging Balls.
And I got to tell you, I really do pity that wife and daughter when they have to go through here. I pity them.
I want to call. I wish you would let the number, and I'd call them. I'd be like, excuse me. Hi. Are you the daughter or the mom? Because your husband has listed this pig on Craigslist for people to eat.
You would have done that too, wouldn't you?
I would have. You could give me the number.
And you could see the husband.
Run away.
You could see the husband coming home. He opens the back door, walks in the kitchen, and the wife whacks him with a cast iron skillet. You could see it happen.
That. Or they go into the girl's bedroom and there's a spider web in the corner that has some pig written in it. Come on!
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the shows this week. Have a terrific weekend. Enjoy the Preakness tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday morning to talk all about Orb winning and the Triple Crown.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld. Geld all these horses. Come on.
Wear your helmets.
It's about free nowadays. Yeah,
get out there and ride. It's beautiful.
No baby this weekend. I got to hold off.
That's right. Wednesday.